Hello, everybody. This is Britt Jones. You're listening to Commerce Forever, the podcast. Thank you so much for downloading this week's episode. Be sure to hit that subscribe button. It's absolutely free. You can also visit us on Facebook at facebook.com/commerceforever. Man, what did y'all think about this past Friday's floods? I mean, it was crazy. You know, I'm over here at Commerce Middle School, and so when we got here that day, it was already raining, of course, but we had no idea of what was about to happen. So just in a few minutes of being here, I guess it was about 10 minutes, the bell hadn't even rang yet. And so the students are walking to class, and all of a sudden we get this tornado warning. So we're told, you know, get your kids out in the hall and get prepared. So that happened. So we were out in the hall, I guess about 10, 15 minutes. And then it got lifted, so we came back inside to our classrooms and got started. Well, it was probably about 5 minutes, and then we get another tornado warning, so we have to go back out into the hallway. So if you can just imagine the way that some of these kids were probably feeling as far as, you know, what's going on, some may have been afraid, but here's the cool thing. Our students did so well in that tornado warning and our drills that we've been practicing that it was nothing. You know, it really was a smooth process for us. And then as the day went on, we started seeing videos and pictures on Facebook of the outlet malls and, of course, Outback. It's heartbreaking to see all these places get flooded and the damage it did over towards Tanger Outlets right there at Home Depot, the sinkhole. And then, of course, there was the Water Bowl Advisory. The Water Bowl Advisory issued by the City of Commerce for all businesses and houses in the Banks Crossing area and along East Ridgeway Road. You couldn't drink the water. You had to boil the water if you were to use it. Well, it finally got lifted this past Sunday. And, of course, it was issued because the water main broke around the Five Guys restaurant. That's where I was talking about where it looked like there was a huge sinkhole. And it happened around 1 p.m. on Friday, and that caused the problem. So crews had to repair the pipes and the roads and repave it. So I was out there yesterday, and it's drivable now. You can get to the outlet malls. You don't have to do any detours or anything like that. In other news, Kara Lindsay is going to head to Commerce Schools. Commerce Primary School will have a new principal in the summer, but she won't have far to go. Kara Lindsay, principal at Commerce Elementary School for 3 years, will be the principal at both schools, the elementary and primary, after Susan Taubert, CPS principal, resigned. Lindsay came to the Commerce City Schools in the year of 2016, and she's been here ever since. She's been principal for 3 years. Lindsay will have two assistant principals. That will be Mandy Lunn. She has been in the same position at the primary school, and Dawn Gary has been in the same job at the elementary school. So we'll have two assistant principals for CPS and CES. This week's show is brought to you by Wilbanks Law Firm right here in town. They will go above and beyond their call of duty. Give them a call for any of your legal needs. Hyman Brown Insurance Agency. It's where I have my insurance, and it's my auto and my home, and it's the best. They have the best rates around. I can't brag on them enough. Give them a call, Hyman Brown Insurance. Little Ward Funeral Home. They show compassion, and they will help you plan for one of the most important events that you will have in your life. And I tell people this all the time, it's good to plan ahead so that your family will not be left with the burden of funeral expenses. They help plan ahead. They will give you a free consultation. Go by and talk to them and let them take you step by step in this process. Also, Simmons Heating and Air. Simmons Heating and Air, right here in town, they are excellent. And with summer coming right around the corner, they are on top of it. You give them a call if you have a problem with your heating and air conditioning system, they are on it. They are trained professionals, and they care about this community. All of the sponsors care about this community. So stay local, give them your business. We are on the phone with a legend in her own right, and she's such a sweetheart, Miss Stella Parton. Stella, how are you doing today?
Hi, baby. How are you doing? I'm good.
I'm wonderful. I'm excited. I was actually, before we started talking, I was listening to a song of yours from way back when, and it's just such pure traditional country classic sound. It's the Goodbye Song.
I'm not that good at goodbye.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just thought about that just now when you said that. Jack Clement, you know, Cowboy Jack Clement.
Sure.
He played rhythm guitar. He came over to the studio that day and set the tempo on that for us because we wanted a certain kind of groove, and he kind of had that kind of groove. And So I never will forget that he said, I'll come over and play it. And so off he came.
Well, that's
came
pretty right special.
Over. Yeah.
Well, and that's one of my favorite songs. I love that song from you. And speaking of that, Stella, you have been you're celebrating 5 decades in the entertainment industry. Wow.
Well, that's just recording. I've been in the industry my whole life.
That's true.
You know, and I'm older than 50, but I've been at this for 50 years as
wow.
a professional.
That's awesome. And you're getting ready to release your 40th studio album called Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a survivor, honey. I have been at this a long time, and I've survived a lot of stuff, but I'm still at it and still loving it.
Well, tell us about this new project, Stella. It sounds, from the track listing and from the stories behind what I've been reading, it sounds like a really interesting project.
Well, it's just straightforward. It's just simple, straightforward production. I didn't overthink it. I produced it, and Mike Loudermilk is such a great guitarist, and he worked with me on it. I wanted to do an album that I could recreate in live performance, and, you know, it's kind of like Harlan Howard always said, if you can, country music should be just 3 chords and the truth, and that's basically what I was trying to do with this album, and a lot of the songs are about what's going on today in our world, you know, with the drug crisis, with the opioid abuse and all that in our society, with the young people overdosing on everything from fentanyl to heroin and all that to, you know, Alzheimer's, you know, is kind of, it's creeping up on my generation. I just lost one of my uncles, and then I have another uncle who's suffering from that, and my grandmother had Alzheimer's when I was in high school, and I stayed with my grandparents and looked after her during my senior year of high school. That's where I lived and worked, and then I took care of her at night and in the mornings before school. So I've always been close to a lot of the issues that I'm talking about, and divorce, of course. I've been through divorce myself and had to raise my son as a single parent because of the Vietnam War and how, or they call it a conflict. It was a war, and to me, and I feel like we're all casualties of it. You know, parents as well as their children become casualties of, you know, those situations when a member comes home and has been affected by, you know, battle. Then everybody suffers. So I kind of touched on a lot of stuff in this album that have, you know, affected my life. That's what it's about.
Well, and that's so good for you for us to hear that. And I'm excited about listening to the two other songs on the album. You've covered Bob Seger's Like a Rock. Tell me, how did that even come about?
Well, you know, I always have loved Bob Seger's work, and I just love the visual of that song.
Yeah.
Anybody that can write a song so visually, and no, I'd never heard it done really by a female, and I don't consider myself this great vocalist or anything, but I do know how to grab a hold of a lyric and understand it and interpret that, because a lot of singers that are great singers, I'll listen to them, and sometimes they're not even in touch with the song.
That's right.
They're singing notes and just soaring, you know, as high as they can go. But they hadn't even paid attention to the words of the song. It's like, well, why don't you just play guitar if you're not going to sing? If you're just going to hum through the song, I don't want to hear that. So I tried to interpret the lyrics of a song, and that's what I tried to do with Bob's song, and that's what I tried to do with Avicii's song. Now, I had recorded the Avicii song before he passed away.
Oh, wow.
But I had heard him. I'd heard that song, and first time I heard it, I just loved it. It was kind of like Down in the Boondocks, and I'm Not Lisa. It was just floored me. Those songs, certain songs just really will hit you, and that was one of those songs, and I thought, man, I'm going to cut this someday. And so it just seemed to fit this project.
Well, that is a great song, and those two songs, like you said, they do paint a picture, and I think, Stella, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like a lot of stuff today on the radio, people aren't singing with as much conviction as they used to. Am I right, or what do you think about today's music?
Well, here's what I think about it. You know, I don't like to criticize anybody else and what's going on in the industry. Because let me just say, anybody that has any success at all, I'm happy for them.
Right.
And they've made a major sacrifice to have it. I knew that for a fact up close and personal from my own life, and that in members of my own family. But I think it's too performance-driven now, country music is. And I noticed that happening about 20 years ago. I mean, I'd go sit in sometimes at clubs and stuff, and you couldn't hear the singer.
No.
And I think, well, you know, what's that all about? And that's what it is now. It's like you can't hear the lyrics. You're just hearing a bunch of noise. And country music was built on a good story.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a problem with that. That's why this album is really straightforward. And if you can't go entertain an audience with just a guitar and stand in front of a microphone, then I don't know what your problem is. I think you've got a lot of problems. And I don't think that's what country music should be doing.
That's right.
But I'm not going to tell other people what to do.
Right.
You know, I'd rather sing Old Ship and Froggy Went A-Courtin' any day and entertain people than to give them a headache with the noise.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's just how I think about it.
That's good. This is pretty cool. And a lot of your fans may not even know this, or a lot of people listening may not even know this, but you were recently on the BBC Celebrity Master Chef. Tell us about how that came about and what the experience was like.
Oh, Lord, it was so traumatic. I did that last, it showed in September. I'll never do another reality thing as long as I live, she said. Oh, my Lord, it was awful. I've always been a cook, and I've published 3 cookbooks, and I consider myself a good cook. But, I mean, the stuff they expected us to cook and throw at us was, and I just didn't like it. It was just not my cup of tea.
Wow.
I've always thought that cooking should be to nurture family and friends, and it's a way to hold somebody on your lap, you know, that's too big to sit there, so you just cook them a nice meal, you know?
Right.
And that's just my theory on it, and I just didn't, I'm not a competitive person. I only compete with me.
Yeah.
And that's, when you're messing with my cooking and expecting me to compete, then you've really messed up. And so it was a huge mistake for me to do that. I was horrified. I've never done anything that I hated so bad.
Wow, okay. Well, did they ask you to cook something that was just unruly or just something that we would not want to eat?
Well, first of all, see, I'm a country cook, a very good country cook, growing up in the mountains of East Tennessee, but I'm also a vegetarian, and I was scared to death every day that they were going to put a pig's head or, you know, a big old fish or a big squirmy lobster or something on the counter for me to have to cut open and all that. And I thought, oh, my Lord, because I just didn't want to dismember, one of God's little creatures.
Right.
I think that's what got me more than anything. I was like, oh, my Lord, I don't want to make any bacon here. I don't want to fry any sausage, and I don't want to make any lobster bisque.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, Lord, I didn't want to crack open a crustacean or, you know, break the jaw of a pig or something. It's just like, oh, geez, I can't do this. But I got out of there after six rounds. I got shot out of the saddle, so it was just as well.
Did y'all record it in England?
Yeah, it was recorded in London.
Okay.
And I froze to death. I was over there in February last year doing it, and it didn't show until September.
Right.
But it was an experience, but I'm not ever going to do that again. I told them I was vegetarian, but they started laying raw fish and stuff upon the counter, and I thought, oh, Jesus Christ. A big fish looking up at me and stuff. It's like, I don't want to do this.
Oh, goodness. Let me ask you this. When you go out and do a show, what's your favorite song that you like to perform live? Is there a favorite? Is there a go-to?
No, not really. I have a set show that I do in concert.
Uh-huh.
And then I have an acoustic show that I do, which is all my songwriting stuff. But probably it would be I Want to Hold You, because that's the one that gave me a career.
Yeah.
And, I wrote that and I produced it and I had to put it out on my own label because nobody in Nashville would give me the time of day.
Yeah.
And then it became a top 10 Billboard hit for me, and I got away with having a career without anybody giving me permission.
I love that.
So I was like a little pig that slid under the fence before they caught me. So I guess that would be my favorite one, because it changed my world.
Well, let me ask you this: when that song came out and it had the success it did you just what kind of whirlwind was that? I'm sure you started getting a lot of bookings and just great things started happening.
Well, see, I had been working for a long time before that, but I'd been doing clubs, working in little old nightclubs, beer joints, whatever you want to call them, up and down the highway, all over the country, with house bands, and, half the time they weren't rehearsed, but I'd be doing cover tunes and stuff, so it was okay. Some of the bands were great and some were awful, but you just got to bite the bullet and do it, because I was trying to earn my stripes, but I was also trying to make a living because I was a single mom,
right,
having to make a living to, keep a roof over my head and food in the mouth of a little boy. So when I had that hit record, then I started working the fair circuit and festivals, and then I had a Danger of a Stranger became a big pop hit over in in Europe, and then I was able for the next several years, and as I still do, go over there and sometimes even headline my own tours. So that was a huge blessing for me, and nobody here at home even knew I was still working. I was just out there working.
What's it like going to Europe? Your fan base over there, is it incredible?
Oh, it's much more appreciative than here. Here at home, it's like, oh, well, that's just Stella. There's Stella. We'll go see Stella if they like me or whatever. Right. But over there, they kind of see our music as, they revere it as such a incredible art form, where here it's homegrown, so you don't think of it. It's like canned food,
Yeah.
Out of the garden. It's like you want something store-bought instead of something out of the garden. That's how Americans are. But over there, it's like, oh, this is American-grown music, and these are, these are American artists, and so they treat you with a lot more reverence, and it feels good after being, mistreated a lot here at home.
Sure. Oh, that's, I'm so glad you explained that. That's interesting.
Well, I don't know if anybody else would explain it that way, but they see it as very special and unique. Where here at home, it's like everybody takes you for granted. It's like, oh, that's just a bunch of hillbilly singers. That's just a bunch of singers from Nashville, whatever.
Yeah.
And they like the new flavor of the week, about every year.
Mm-hmm.
And so you just have to kind of get in line and wait your turn and hope they don't boo you off the stage at home sometimes. But over there, they, ply you with flowers and applause and all that. So it's nice.
Well, I was really interested in, because I, a few years ago, a story of you and your family's life came out, and you were invited to be, I guess, a consultant on the set. Is that correct? Of Code of Many Colors?
I wasn't invited. Dolly asked me to, because she couldn't be there on the first you know, the first one.
Yeah.
And she says, Stella, would you act as consultant?
Oh,
because
wow.
you know as much about the family as I do. And a lot of people don't know this, but I also have worked in production as the associate producer on a lot of her TV shows and stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Nobody knows that, but, you know, when she runs up on, you know, on a stump in the, you know, in the lake, she'll say, Stella, I need a little help here. and I'll wade in and do what I can. And, you know, in my quiet little way. So, yeah, I did that. But I also played the part of Corla Bass, the mean woman.
Yes, you did.
And so she said, now, Stella, you know you're not going to get to be pretty in this role. I said, I don't care. I'll let you be pretty, Dolly. I know how pretty I am. I don't mind dressing up like the mean old woman in town. So it was fine.
It was
kind of surreal, actually, in that, you know, here I am being portrayed as a little girl along with my other siblings in the film. Then I'm playing this old mean woman that owned the store in town. And I knew a couple of women that were shopkeepers in our hometown. So I kind of combined two of them.
Oh, wow.
And that's who I made Corla Bass out of. And then, you know, being the consultant was a lot of hats to wear. But, you know, I'm a hat collector, so I just put on a different one.
I love it. Well, those were great movies. I'm so glad you were involved in those.
Thank you.
Let me ask you this, and we'll start wrapping it up. But do you have a favorite career memory so far, or something that just stands out to you?
You know, there's so many highs and so many lows that I'd rather save those for my next book. But I think one of my favorite highs would be touring with Ronnie Millsap, opening for Ronnie Millsap and for Marty Robbins.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, I've worked with everybody, and I opened for Kenny Rogers before he and Dolly ever toured together.
Oh, interesting.
So, you know, I've had a lot of highs and a lot of lows.
Right.
But you know what? I'm a tough little bird, so I just kind of hang in there until the weather changes, and then I start dry off my feathers and start again.
That's right. I love it. Can people still, they can get your memoir, Tell It, Sister, Tell It, on Amazon?
They can. They can go there and order it. And it's the first installment. I kind of soft-pedaled a lot of it, but, you know, I still have a lot of relatives still alive. If I outlive them, I'll tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God.
That's great. I love that. Oh, goodness gracious. Well, Stella, thank you so much for being on the show today. You've been a joy.
Thank you, honey. Have a good day. I appreciate you taking the time.
All right.
And make sure you play some of my new album. Oh, don't just play that old stuff.
You better believe it. You better believe it.
All right, baby.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed that interview with Stella Parton, Dolly Parton's sister. If you ever want to check out any more of those type of interviews, you can head on over to Throwback Country Music. Just search for that in your podcast app. It's absolutely free. That's Throwback Country Music, and it's a show that I host where I interview some country music singers and stars from the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s. Well, have a great week, and may God continue to bless you on your journey.